lives in our hearts. Our theme verse for this series on the Holy Spirit is Galatians 2:20. Would you open your Bibles there, please? Galatians 2:20. This is our theme verse. I want to encourage all of you to memorize this verse. Write it down. Write it on your doorposts of your houses. Put it up on the bathroom mirror. Put it in your car. Make this verse your motto of your life. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ, the God-man, the one who created the universe, the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who loved you so much that he gave his life for you, lives in your heart. Praise his name. We are going to look at some beautiful passages from the Holy Scriptures that teach us more about this awesome fact. Would you pray with me, please? Would you pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart, remove Satan's blinders from your eyes, and make you good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit in your heart, 30, 60, and 100-fold. You pray that right now. Would you pray right now for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for the Word of God, that the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, would go down deep and bear fruit in their hearts, 30, 60, and 100-fold. You pray for them, please, right now. Now, please pray for me for just a few moments, that I would preach God's word accurately and therefore powerfully. May the preaching of your word edify your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. We saw a couple weeks ago that the Holy Spirit is God the Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. We also saw that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Look with me on the screen at Ephesians 3, 4, and 5. Ephesians 3, 4, and 5. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. We also saw last week this incredibly awesome truth that the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. Look on the screen at Romans 5, 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. This is the most awesome thing. If you are a Christian, The Spirit of our glorious, majestic Lord Jesus Christ lives in your heart. What a glorious joy. What an awesome grace. Your heart, my heart, is the home of the Holy Spirit. One thing we want to talk about today is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart? What happens? There are several wonderful things. We're going to focus on just one today. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart, something wonderful happens. Bible scholars have a word for it. They call it regeneration. Regeneration. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart, you are regenerated. In your notes, number one, we are all born physically alive, but spiritually dead. We are all born physically alive, but spiritually dead. Would you open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. And following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. You and I were born spiritually dead. Number two in your notes, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he gives us spiritual life. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he gives us spiritual life. Please open with me to John chapter 3. The most wonderful conversation, John chapter 3. Starting from verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Jesus says, you must be born again. How are we born again? How does that happen? When we put our faith and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and gives us spiritual life. Number three in your notes. When the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts are made new. When the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts are made new. As you read the Word of God from cover to cover, there is the most wonderful explanation, the most wonderful picture of what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts. You see, brothers and sisters, the Old Testament is so important for your understanding of the New Testament. We believe that here at Trinity Baptist Church. We believe that so clearly that after we finish this series on the Holy Spirit, we here on Sunday mornings are going to do an Old Testament survey from Genesis to Malachi. A survey. Don't panic. We will spend less time than we actually did in Matthew. But it's a survey because the Old Testament is so incredibly important. You need the Old Testament in order to understand the New. You've got to read the whole Bible cover to cover, Trinity Baptist. You've got to read the whole Bible. An example of that is understanding what the Holy Spirit does when He comes into our hearts. You can't understand that without the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God commanded all Jewish males to be circumcised. Look with me on the screen at Genesis 17. Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." Circumcision is the cutting away of the foreskin on the male reproductive organ. Why did God require the Jews to cut away the foreskin? God required this so He could teach the people that we are all dirty and need to be cleansed. We are all dirty and need to be cleansed. But true cleansing does not take place on the outside. True cleansing takes place on the inside. Circumcision just symbolized the true inner cleansing that God wants to do in our heart. What God really wants to do is circumcision of the heart. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 9. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh." You see, that's not good enough. "Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the desert in distant places, for all those nations are really uncircumcised. And even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart." You see, Israel, they circumcised the males. But God said, "You're circumcised in your flesh, but you're uncircumcised in heart. And that's what I really want. That's what I really want." God wants our hearts to be circumcised. Here's the problem. Man can circumcise the body. That's a surgical procedure that can be done by any doctor even today. Only God can circumcise the heart. Only God can circumcise the heart. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 30. "When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you've been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers. He will take possession of it. You will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. True circumcision, circumcision of the heart, is what the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, he circumcises your heart. The Apostle Paul experienced this and gave testimony about that. The Apostle Paul was a committed Jew. Look at his testimony with me at Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. This is the Apostle Paul. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. It's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh." Here's Paul's testimony. "Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more." This is Paul's testimony. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. He says, "When I was 8 days old, I was circumcised physically like a good Jew. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." Paul, before he was a Christian, took pride in the fact that he was physically circumcised. But now Paul has learned that true circumcision is not physical, it's spiritual. True circumcision is circumcision of the heart. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, "We are the true circumcision. We who worship by the Spirit of God are the true circumcision." He spells this out very clearly in Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29. Look at it on the screen with me. "A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly. Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God." In the Apostle Paul's time, false teachers came into the church and taught people that they had to be circumcised physically. When Paul was writing his letters, false teachers came in and were teaching people that they had to be circumcised physically. Paul taught against that and gave us the truth when he wrote the book of Colossians. Would you open with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, and let's look at it together. Colossians 2, let's pick it up from verse 9. "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Great verse for the deity of Christ. "And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him, that is Christ, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. If you are a Christian this morning, the Holy Spirit has come into your heart and your heart has been circumcised. You have a brand new heart. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look with me on the screen at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. When the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, you are made alive in Christ. You are a new person. The Holy Spirit has come in and made a radical change in your life. What is that change? Sin is no longer your master. Sin is no longer your master. An unsaved person must sin. They are not going to give in to every single temptation. But overall, as a general principle, they do not have the power to overcome sin. When the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, you do. By His strength. By His strength. This is so powerfully illustrated in baptism. You saw on the slides the baptism of Alfonso. You saw live the baptism of Fawn. You go into the water and the old you is buried with Christ. You come out of the water and the new you is made alive in Christ. It is not just symbolic. It's real. You truly have a new heart. Look on the screen at Romans 6:6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. Look at it. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. That is what the Holy Spirit does. I stand before you giving my own testimony. The old Dave Gordon is dead. I am buried with Christ. The man that stands before you is a completely new person. I have a new heart. I have a new heart, and that is what the Holy Spirit does. This is taught so clearly in the book of Titus. Would you join me there in the book of Titus? Titus 3:3. This is my testimony, and if you are my brother in Christ, or if you are my sister in Christ, this is your testimony as well. Titus 3:3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us. Look at it, Trinity. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in, we have a new heart. Our new heart has the ability to connect with God. Our new heart has the ability to be intimate with God. We're given a heart that can trust God. We're given a heart that can love God. We're given a heart that can serve God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We don't need an extreme home makeover, people. What we need is an extreme heart makeover. And that's what we get by His grace. That is what is so wonderful about being a follower of Christ. God knows, brothers and sisters, God knows that it is not good enough simply to give you a list of do's and don'ts. If you understand Christianity that way, it's just a list of do's and don'ts, you've completely misunderstood the whole thing. God knows it's not good enough to give you a list of do's and don'ts. It's not just this is good behavior, this is bad behavior. That would not help us at all. Jesus says, I know you can't be good. You need someone to radically change your heart. Jesus says, give up trying to be good. Reach out to me, turn to me as your Lord and Savior. I will come, I will live in your heart, and I will change your heart. That's what we need. Amen? That's what we need, is a change of heart. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. He changes your heart. And when we have the changed heart, we are able to live the victorious Christian life. This is spelled out so well in Romans chapter 8. Look at the screen with Romans chapter 8, 1 through 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Do you have more back there? For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. Look at this. For what the law was powerless to do, what was the law powerless to do? Change your life. Change your life. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so He condemned sin and sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. That's what God does. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a heart transformation that we get by His grace. Brothers and sisters, since the Holy Spirit has given us a new heart, how should we respond? How should we respond? We can cling to that old life. There's no reason to. We can cling to that old life. I want you to picture yourself as being in a prison cell. One of my favorite hymns is number 61 in your books, And Can It Be? And verse 3 says, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. As in, my spirit has been in prison so long, it's been bound up by sin. And then the next verse says, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. Quickening is giving you life. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. And the next verse is so, the next words are so beautiful. It's number 61 in your books. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. God has done that already. If you're a Christian, you've been set free of sin. Now you have a choice, brothers and sisters. You can sit in that cell. You can choose to sit in that cell. But the door is open. The chains are off. You have the power by the Holy Spirit to walk out of that cell and live the victorious Christian life. Why stay in the cell? Go back to Colossians chapter 2, please. Why stay in the cell? Go back to Colossians chapter 2. I want to read this incredible passage again. Verse 9. Colossians 2, 9. I'm sorry, number 4 in your notes. Number 4 in your notes, this is the last one. Our response should be to surrender to the Holy Spirit as He continues His work in our hearts and leads us to a joyful, holy life. Our response should be to surrender to the Holy Spirit as He continues His work in our hearts and leads us to a joyful, holy life. Colossians 2, 9, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sin nature, not with the circumcision made by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through the faith and the power of God who raised Him from the dead." Paul has this wonderful habit in his letters. In the first few chapters, he gives you the truth. The theological truth. He gives you the truth about God, the truth about salvation, the truth about the Holy Spirit. And then, after he has taught you biblical truth, he applies it. This is what he does in all of his epistles. In the beginning, he teaches you biblical truth, and then in the end, he applies it. He does it so well here. Turn one page to Colossians chapter 3. This is the application, Trinity Baptist. This is what we are supposed to do with this wonderful truth about the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3, 1. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, what should you do? Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." In other words, don't stay in that prison anymore. Walk free. "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. You've taken off the old self with its practices and must put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." I'm going to be quiet now, but we're not through yet. I want you to keep this verse open. And as Brother Carey comes and plays a little bit on the keyboard, meditate on verses 5 through 11. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and show you what you need to put away. Show you where you need to rise above. Show you where you need to take the victory that Jesus has purchased for you and live a victorious Christian life. Just meditate on these scriptures for a few moments.